because they missed the biggest thing. You know, we tell people things like this: come to church and your life will get better. I've told people that before. People who have called me and said, Pastor Richard, can you go visit so-and-so? Have you ever noticed if you have victory over drinking or drugging, every person who struggles with drinking or drugging, people seem to think you're their savior? I mean, I know you go through this. They call Don up every time somebody gets thrown in jail. Will you go down and talk to so-and-so? Well, listen, Don can't save people. I can't save people. There's nothing that I say that's going to do anything for the person other than maybe give them a little bit of strength and encouragement. But there is one who can absolutely change their life if they will come to him. We tell people, come to church. Church will change your life. How many of you would say church did make a difference? And church made a difference in my life. But I'm not going to give the glory to church, because I know that there was a person that I met at church, and it wasn't none of you, and it wasn't my pastor. I know there was somebody that I met when I came to church, and when I met that person and had an encounter with that person, he changed my life. It wasn't church. It wasn't Sunday school. It wasn't a small group that changed me, but the one that I met in those places. See, going to church, it just becomes religious duty. It just becomes habit. It just becomes going through the motions. And I'm telling you, and I mean this when I say this, and I say this with absolute love, I know people who have gone to church more years than I've been alive and are still jacked up like anybody else off the street, because church cannot do it. You know, there are people who practice religious steps their entire life. And you know what Jesus said? In that day, there will be many who said unto me, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And you know what Jesus will say to them? Depart from me. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know who you are. Yeah. You know, we tell people, join my small group so you can grow. And how many of you know joining a small group will help you grow if you do it right? Amen. But if you don't do it right, you're just wasting your time. Yeah, there is a right way to do discipleship, and there's a wrong way to do discipleship. Much of what goes on in small group is worthless. Just a bunch of, I'm serious. I've gone to small groups that were a total waste of time, so I stopped going. And I'll tell you why they was a waste of time. Not anything was said about Jesus in the whole discussion. Just a bunch of people sniffling and crying over, that's why I can't stand to go to most 12-step meetings. Bunch of people sitting around sniffling and crying about their problems. And every once in a while, you get somebody in those 12-step meetings who's going to speak life into those problems and begin to declare that God is able, glory to God. You know, we tell people pray and prayer will change you. We tell people have so-and-so pray for you. We tell you all these things. I'm guilty of this, but what I want to say to you is none of these things are true in and of themselves. They just become vain repetition. They just dead works. Their tradition is all they are. And they're void of the one thing that can change our life. And what I've shared with you each week is John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus said to a man who was coming to him seeking truth, Jesus said, I assure you, and most solemnly say to you, unless a person is born again, everybody say born again, reborn from above. Notice Jesus didn't say, unless a person finds the right church to become a member to. Jesus didn't say, you know, you got to get into the right small group or you got to pray the right way. What did Jesus say? You must be born again. If you're not born again, and listen, to be born again, there's not a prayer that you can pray that can save you. Your words, your prayers don't save you. It's the person that you connect with when you pray. I want to say that again. Man, I know people who, and you all know people, who are rhetorical prayers. I mean, they pray and aren't changed by nothing. Why? They're not encountering God. They're not connecting with God. They're going through a bunch of religious motions and missing the biggest piece of the puzzle, and it's connecting with God. That's why we got to get back to stressing to people. Look, except you be born again, except you have an encounter with God and connect with God and experience God, really experience God, you're never going to be changed. Amen. You can go to church for the rest of your life and struggle just like a lot of other people do. Or you can come and throw yourself down at the feet of a merciful God and say what Jacob said, I am not going to let go of you until you bless me, Lord. I'm not going to stop wrestling with you until I hear your voice. I'm not going to stop crying out to you until I get an answer. I'm not going to stop speaking until you speak back. See, it's about connecting with God. Somebody said, well, how do I know when to stop praying? when you're released. If a burden puts you to your knees, you don't stop praying till the burden's gone, right? If a problem drove you to prayer, if a circumstance drove you to prayer, if a situation drove you to your knees, you don't get up off your knees just because you've said all the words that you had to say. You stay there until you encounter God. Boy, I'm telling you, so many people have missed their breakthrough, have missed their breakthrough by this much. Have missed it just, I'm talking by a fraction of an inch, because they got up and left right before God was going to minister to them. Yeah. Right before they came face to face with God. Everybody say, I want to have a God encounter. And I truly mean this. And I say this because I want every person to experience it. You know, you don't have a chance in the world at true sobriety. Sobriety isn't even about staying off of drugs. Sobriety is about completing and wholeness, about your life coming back to the way that God has ordered it to be. Amen. And there's no chance for that except you have an encounter with God. Except you have an encounter with God. That's why Paul said these words in 1 Corinthians. I love this verse right now. It's really resonating in my heart. Paul said, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. Paul wasn't seeking any of the stuff that other people were seeking. Paul wasn't chasing after any of the things that other people were chasing after. He said, I just want to know Jesus. Of all the things that people seek after, of all the things that people think they need, of all the things that people think will solve their problems, you know what Paul said? My resolve is this, to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. See, it puts everything back in perspective when we really get the heart of what Paul is saying. The only thing that matters, the only thing that matters is Jesus. That's it. I mean, when everything else is dead and gone, when everything else fades away, and when everything else gets back to the normalcy of life, the only thing that matters is, are you connected to Jesus? That's it. You know, these are things that we think we need. We think we need, and I just had a call this morning, somebody thinking they need marriage counseling. Well, I want you to know something. Marriage counseling is a waste of time. You can counsel some people for 50 years. And there's no breakthrough. You know why? Because counseling can't do what Jesus can do. It just can't happen. Now, I'm not opposed to counseling, nor am I opposed to marriage counseling. But I'm a person who understands Jesus is the answer to your problems. And so you better be seeking Him. You know, it's just easier at times to think that you can go sit on somebody's couch and whine about your problems, and they're going to say some magic words that's going to change everything for you. You got to do it the hard way, just like everybody else did. You have to press in to God. That's right. Amen. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? It doesn't happen just by chance. It's not coincidental. It's not accidental. It's not by chance that people have a God encounter. It's because somebody woke up and came to their senses like the prodigal son and said, I'm going to go back to my father's house. And he actually got up and he started the journey. He was made up his mind that he was going to get reconnected with his father. He pressed on. I'm sure the journey wasn't easy. I'm sure all along the way, shame and guilt and condemnation tried to talk him into turning around, but he just ignored those things and he kept. Imagine how humiliating it was for him to walk into his father's presence for the first time. How ashamed he must have felt. But how relieving it must have been when his father said, kill the fatted calf, put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger. This son of mine was lost, but now he's found. He was dead, but now he lives. Glory to God. It is worth pressing into God. It is worth it. And we talked about these steps when it comes to us having a God encounter. We talked about coming to the burning bush. And as I said before, and I'll say it again because it bears repetition, everybody in this life, every person, not just people here, even people out there that don't know it yet, need to realize that God is actively at work pursuing us. Yeah. Relentlessly. He never stops. And all throughout our life, you know, I can look back, I've told the stories before, I can look back in my life now that my spiritual eyes have been opened, now that I'm born again and can spiritually discern the things of the Spirit, whereas once before I couldn't. I look back at my life and I see all these different burning bush experiences that God was calling me to and giving me. Opportunities where I could have responded. I could have turned like Moses did and went over to inquire, what is this strange thing? This bush is burning and it's not consumed. I could have responded to what God was doing in my life, but out of ignorance and out of rebellion and out of a hardness of heart, I rejected those things and continued on the path of sin. But guess what? God never stopped pursuing me. He never stopped pursuing me. He would wait a little while. He would let circumstances overwhelm me. He would let the ignorance of my decisions consume me. And then in brokenness and emptiness on life's journey, he would just plant another burning bush. There'd just be another burning bush on fire. Something to catch my eyes. Something to catch my attention. It was God's way of drawing me to himself. And you know what happened? The day came when I finally responded. The day came when I finally said, I got to go over here and check this God thing out. And you know, that's the first step in the right direction. Can somebody say amen? We talked about a message. Pastor Jim, you told me to preach this message. So I did. It worked great. It worked great in the series. We went out for breakfast one morning and he was telling me about a word that the Lord gave him. He said, you need to preach that. I said, okay, I will. And it was a great message, wasn't it? If you was here, you can say amen. It was great. But we talked about we all need to dig our wells. You know, I think about how great my grandma's life with God has been, but that's not going to change me. I can't get to heaven on the shirt tail of my grandma. My life can't be changed because of what God has done in her life. It can show me a better way. It can encourage me and inspire me to believe for something better. But grandma's faith can't save me. But what we need to understand is God will save us all if we will dig a well to sustain us and to sustain our families. Can somebody say amen? We talked about having a great passion, to pursue God with great passion. The Bible says, when you seek me with all of your heart, then and only then will you find me. So our pursuit for God, it's almost like playing hide and seek. How many of you ever played hide and seek? This is what our life with God is like. God wants us to seek him. I want to say that again. God wants us to seek him out. He wants us to run to him and to search for him. He wants us to be like in that game. He wants us to be absolutely bent on finding him, even in the darkest of times, to find God. And think about hiding seek, how exciting it is as you're searching for those that are hiding. Isn't it exciting? I love watching kids play that game. You know why? Because that's what our life with God should look like. Just passionate pursuit. We talked last week, I believe it was last week, about letting the resurrection, the story of the resurrection, letting it resurrect our lives. Tonight I want to talk to you about another point, and I really believe we'll probably conclude the series with this message. But we need to value the power of his presence. Value the power of his presence. You know, I just want to say a couple things before we read these verses. We really have to begin to understand the value of God's presence in our life. You know, we put value on so many things. I mean, overvalue so many things. In Christianity today, you hear a lot of things thrown around. Emphasis in church put on a lot of things. Programs are one of them. All type of emphasis put on different things. Rarely do you see a church that puts an emphasis on the presence of God. Rarely do you see a church or a leader or a group of people put their primary focus not on programs, not on stuff, but on God's presence. And I want you to know something. The only thing that separates us from the world is the presence of God. The only thing that makes us different than them is God's presence. We're going to look at a couple things here. John 15, 4 and 5, Jesus said, dwell in me. And I'm reading to you from the Amplified Bible. It's going to be a little bit different than the version of the Bible that we give you here. I did this because the Amplified says some things, an amplification of the translation that is not in the translation we gave you, but it's important because you begin to see the picture that Jesus is really trying to give us through the words that he's speaking. Dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Live in me and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, listen, being vitally united to the vine. Everybody say vitally united. That word vitally means that if you don't do it, you will die. It means that life is found in this union. Vitally, what that means is, if you were to go to the doctor and they were to take your vitals, what would they do? take your heartbeat. Why? Because the heart is where your life comes from. It pumps the blood through your body. And if your vitals aren't right, guess what happens? You're dead. Everything is out of kilter. If your